Okay. So you would have to abide by any rules that you would establish. That's the point you get across to the kids. All right. Now, in your school, there are standardized tests. How do you feel your students have, over the years, have rated on standardized tests compared to other students in Alaska?
I don't know. I've never. That would take a survey to establish. But also, I am a firm believer in standardized testing. They've thrown out IQ tests in the school. I'm a firm believer in IQ testing. I'm a firm believer in, I even support anecdotal records by teachers in the in pupil records. These are things that are becoming sensitive things now because of the accessibility to records. And I suppose it would inhibit teachers to say things that they might otherwise. But to me, the more information that you know about a child, the more it's going to help you to teach that child. But it all depends upon how you use them. Anecdotal records by past teachers are very significant to me because it tells me what kind of a relationship that child had with that previous teacher. I'm not going to make a judgment of the child in that one. You know, a teacher has some dreadful thing to say about his actions in the past. That doesn't mean that I immediately pin, he's going to be a hard case to handle and I better watch him. It's just as important for me to think in terms of what did this child, what happened to this child if this teacher had this feeling with this child. And if it helps me to handle the situation a lot better. And I've seen a lot of these remarks in children's records. And they have been very helpful to me. The more there is a significance to the results of the standardized testing, no matter how you hear pros and cons about native children and they score poorly or below standards on these tests. But nevertheless, it is an indication of what they are doing on a national level. To me, the big advantage of teaching in Hot Springs for the number of years that I did was and keeping my own little records on the standardized testing. It began to show me things about me, and that was more significant than the result it was on the child. So if there was an area where all of the children fell, and you could check it out graphically, then that meant that there was something that I needed to rethink and redo in the way that I was teaching these children. So I found it a measure of teacher evaluation as well as student evaluation. One of the I taught in Hot Springs for so many years. This was my first year here. One of the first things I did before I ever saw a child, the first thing I wanted were the pupil records so I could check out the information in it, and there were two areas where I felt I really needed to stress, and I got that information from standardized test results. I don't know if I should be talking about this.
Well, it's important information. It is a sensitive subject.
But as a result, I concentrated a lot of effort into those areas because I knew that those two areas, I didn't know how much they had had of it, but nevertheless, they were weak in it. And of course, the results of the standardized testing will tell me something. You know, even this 1 year of teaching here, they will tell me something.
What do you feel your goals are for students in general? What sorts of things would you say you'd like students to, would you like school to be in students? For instance, if once a student finishes school, what should they be like?
They should do what they want to do. To me, that's very important. It isn't necessary for the schools to, the goals of the schools or of education should be wide enough to accommodate the wide variety that there are of kids in helping them develop or know themselves well enough to know what they can do when they get out of school to be a happy individual. And this, oh, we've gone through periods since I've been a teacher where, you know, if you don't go to college, you're a failure. Well, that's such a narrow objective when you think in terms of all your children. And what I want, I would just be repeating myself by saying it. It's for the children to know themselves well enough so they know what they want. Unfortunately, when they get out of school, so many of the kids don't even know what they want.
How would you go about promoting that goal?
Well, it's a lot more than just giving them the subject material that you're concerned with as a teacher every day. But it's so much more than just the school, too. It's knowing the child in school and out of school, and it's a bigger job than the school can really handle. I suppose probably the biggest handicap that the school works under is that it's so isolated from the community that it works with. And I suppose you can even extend that community to a larger world, you know. But how you're going to find the answer to that dream in our present system, I think it's an impossible one.
What would have to change in order to make the school and the community closer together?
Well, you see, like, the situation, let's just take the situation that we would have here. You have children that are coming here and doing an academic day in school. There's a gym where they get a chance to, and this is a new one because they've only had it. We've been here for just a little better than a month. So even that, which is one way of including the community, because the gym can involve the community in a very active way. But there are many other ways in which the school could be a practical bridge to the interests in the community. An excellent way to, and it would be only one, would be a vocational shop where children could learn, have some kind of skill. By the time they get out of high school now, when they get out of high school now, probably in the area of business, and this isn't the local one here, but say a Fairbanks High School student, unless he's going on to college, probably those students who took business courses are the only ones who are near to going out and applying for a job without, and to be able to say they have somewhat of a skill. Here, they have nothing. And if they had vocational programs, it would give them, there would be some kind of an opportunity for them to develop these skills. And with the present system situation here, they don't have that opportunity.
Okay, well, perhaps you should move on from goals. You taught in the Hot Springs School until what year?
The year before last.
So that would be
77.
77.
The spring of 77.
Spring of 77, you retired from there?
Uh-huh.
Why did you do that?
Well, because of the property, you know, we have the property there that has a tremendous potential. We've lived in our own special utopia, I think, and we've been able to do this because we haven't developed it, and we have reached the age where we have to start thinking in terms of our children and their heritage. And so we had reached the decision that year that we were going to develop. And we had planned on a small hotel complex. And I was very excited about that possibility because it gave, I felt that I still had enough years where I could put in some good physical work. And it also became an opportunity for a creative outlet because it was... we had the perfect place to put up a small hotel, just a small one, that would encompass some things that would be make it a very, very unique hotel. And with that in mind, as it turned out, I didn't have a full 20 years in Israel. A mistake on my part. There was a misinterpretation, and I had received misinformation. My retirement started. And so I had a little less than, I had 19 years plus and a fraction of a year. And you're supposed to put 20 years in retirement and 20 years of contractor. And, but
possibility of my energy and creativity going towards this development project I was really looking forward to. And I have to think in terms of my age and also my husband. And I was the stronger force there. I knew that I was essentially carrying Chuck along in this project, that he was not as enthused about it as I was. But I also felt that what he lacked in enthusiasm, I made up for. And even if he didn't want to, if I had his support in it, that I could still carry it through successfully. And even if he wouldn't be a part of it as fully as I would. For example, Seth has, in recent years, was helping me strong to hold and start I was really caught up in this whole process for a long time, and I was carrying it along. And we had this whole bargain, and it was up to me. There were two girls from, your friend, we didn't see the television, so we had to hang out there. Killed when he was 25 years old. And this happened at the same time, and it really threw the emotional impact of that death. And of course, with death, it also brings realities of your own age into focus, or it certainly did with Chuck. And he just begged off at the last minute. He said that he felt that the project was too big. More than 200 and without his support in that sense, there was no decision to be made, because if it wasn't both of us doing it, then it was neither one of us doing it, even though I knew that if I just had his consent, I could carry the project from there. But so he, since he didn't want to, he didn't do it, so we just canceled it out at the beginning, and that was a good time to do it. Yeah, if he didn't want to, it really would have been a terrible thing for him to go along with my idea when he didn't really want it at all. And find himself immersed in it. Maybe he would have felt that he was obligated to put more into it than I felt he was obligated into putting. So when that happened, then I really felt restless.
And especially when school began, I knew that, I didn't feel that I was really retiring. I felt that I was retiring from teaching, yes, but I saw this as a whole new opportunity to take care of my energies. And since I didn't have that outlet anymore, and I also didn't have teaching since I had retired, then I really felt at loose ends. Although we left, we did go spend time in Hawaii that year. We purchased the property over there. I still felt very restless. And I knew that I had to do more than that. And so when we came home, by February, I just made up my mind and finally told him in the beginning of March that I was ready to go back to teaching. And called up Colin Baxter. Here I am. They are true to be proclaimed. I thought that if we become I really love I
certainly the big difference, of course, was the behavior of the principal. And there's the advantage. One of the things about teaching in a one-room school, you're the teacher, and of course, you know, you have the administrative work, but I don't consider teaching in a one-room school, the administrative duties are, you know, that great. They take time, yes, but there, any problems you have, you know where the source of the problem is. It's you, because you're the only one there, and you're responsible as a teacher, and you're responsible for the building. You're responsible as an administrator, and you're responsible as a teacher. And if something's not working, then it's because you're not doing your job, you know, except for things that you, where you have done your job, and somebody that is at the other end of your problem isn't handling for you. But as long as you have done it at your end, then you know that thing, you know where to place the blame in a hurry, you know. But, and that goes for the general situation at school, the discipline of the children included. And up here, of course, I, as soon as I came here, there were two things that really I was aware of. The first thing was the behavior of the children. The second was the condition of the school. And it reflected a situation where there was a lack of respect of public property. We had, in Hot Springs, where you had materials that you had used for 10 years and more, and were still in excellent condition, like audiovisual equipment. You know, they were still in excellent condition. And here, you heard about the fact, you looked for tape recorders, and, you know, they weren't there, you know. Well, where were they? It's also the just the general condition of the school, although it was also understandable here, because they were building this new school, and, you know, they weren't going to be in that school that much longer. And I suppose the philosophy there was, you know, why put a lot of effort into something that you're going to be moving out of in a couple of months?
What do you think caused this attitude? Where did this attitude come from?
I would imagine if it's just a different standards of behavior required by different authorities. And I imagine that this is not only referring to school personnel,
making a hotel. There must be a lot of different ideas that you have of things that you might want to do. I've heard talk of small school and things like that. Would you care to list any of those? Any other sorts of ranges of wild dreams you might have, things that you'd want to do.
Well, we have, there's always the possibility of extending the development of the greenhousing, you know, as a garden spot. But there's also the, we are involved with the public to the extent of the public baths, and there will have to be a development there just to accommodate the bathers. That's the item in a child's record that is of the least importance to me, and that is the report card.
Hello.
Okay.
Okay. That was the one item in the pupil's personal records that interests me the least.
Hello. All right. Now we're working all right. Okay. Now where were we about kids?
Okay, that was your reference to report cards as an indication of achievement. And that's the one item in the pupil records that interests me the least, is the report card. And that's because of the... You almost need to have something... To understand a report card, you need to have a record explaining the information that you put on the report card for every grade for every child. And it's meaningless because there isn't any standardization as far as of the teachers who give it. But it... Generally speaking, yes, two children can get a grade of A and not be at the same level. Or they can be in the same grade, and one can be at a lower level and one can be at a higher level. But also you have to be... let the parents, and this is the whole purpose of the parent conference, is to let them know exactly where the child is achieving. And if he is getting a passing grade and he's performing at a grade level, two levels below his present one, that the grade is according to that grade level. So So you can, and accordingly, you can have students who are capable of performing a lot better, but they certainly don't deserve that A grade if they aren't coming through with the standards that you've set for them, and you'd certainly set higher standards than just his grade level if he's capable of performing up there. That's where it's essential, very essential, to have a lot of communication with your parents. In Hot Springs, it was a very easy thing to do because you knew all of the parents so well anyway, and you did have a lot of access to them, and they had a lot of access, easy access to you. But even in that situation where everybody was a personal friend as well, there was a very definite time for a formal conference in the school where they could be informed in a formal situation.
Have you found there to be a problem with this, with the grading system and the emphasis that is put on grades by some parents and also by institutions? Say if someone wants to get a scholarship or wants to go, you know, in what instances might that be a problem? So the grading.
Take Yvonne and Kurt down there to make a risk for the picture taking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. I've got a couple of questions when you run out.
As far as the parent emphasis on report, on the report card of the child, yeah, those can be delicate situations because, you know, a child who might be getting a B or even a C might be more deserving of the praise of the parent than a child who gets a similar or even a, might be getting a higher grade. He might be doing everything you're asking him to do, you know, plus, but the other one is done with a special endeavor, and he might really be working to what you think is his, closer to his potential. But we are kind of stuck on that ABC system, unfortunately. The standardized test results to me are more meaningful.
There are many people that write books and on systems of education and certain schools that perhaps use different methods of education and philosophies of education. Have there been any of these people that have that you feel close to in your own philosophy or have influenced you in what you've done?
Yeah, you read about them and, you know, you're impressed by them. I can, you know, really being taken with Summerhill for a long time. I can feel, you know, Summerhill and Montessori, you know, are two that come instantly to my mind that I was impressed for some time. But, you know, they, you can, all of these kind of blend, and you find that when you and this is true of techniques and methods too, that somebody will ask you, how do you teach reading? And you kind of have your own method, but I've never really sat down, and when people ask me these questions, it's very difficult for me to answer them, because I've never really sat down and said, well, how do I teach reading, you know? Because there are certain things that, you know, I know that I stress, you know, I stress phonics when it comes to reading, you know, just as a general example, because it's logical for me to, for language is made up of sounds, so you're going to use that technique to make it work. I also know that there are ways in which I've changed over the years in teaching certain things, and I'm talking about basic subjects, but I think probably another thing with teaching, and this comes to my mind simply because we were just talking about this rather recently. I was talking about it with another teacher. And this is where a teacher is creative, or this is where the artistry of teaching, would, for want of a better way to describe it, it comes in when... You know, you have these little special techniques that, you know, they really work for you. And you say, and you've used them, you know, over and over again through the years. And then, because they always work for you. And then suddenly you get this child and you come to this technique or this concept, and he is here and you're there, or he's up there and you're there, and you suddenly find out it doesn't work. And then the and that's where the ingenuity has to work, because in order for you to get anywhere, you know, you're going to have to find that level. And that's what teaching is all about, is it's not going to work until you're both on that same plane. And that's where the rewards of teaching come too, is when you do reach that plane and you do recognize that understanding is there. Uh-huh. Now, when do you want to go down and meet Altona?
Anytime's fine.
Yeah, anytime would be fine with me too. After your basketball game, I'm sure.
Well, maybe we should run down there now, and I'll sacrifice the basketball game just to get it out of the way so we're sure to get her. Huh?
Okay.
And then see, we can just make an arrangement with her today. So if she can do it, if she wants to do it, you know, like, have you made an arrangement with Johnny Honey for time?
Tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow morning and sometime during the day, but it's not very far.
Because we go down there around 10:30.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try to catch him when he's hooking up his dogs.
Okay, so then you can just make an arrangement with Altona when she would want to have you. And then if she wants you today, you can run me back up here.
Okay.
Okay.